Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been thinking of the subject of scriptural marriage and family life. I've tried to emphasize from message to message the importance of the scriptures as the basis and the foundation for everything in life. It's a basis for our salvation. It's the only basis for our salvation. Men have taught many things through the ages, and I respect many of these men, but their teaching, if it's not in conformity with the Word of God, is not to be accepted. People will come to your door. They'll come with their books, their ideas of men, people that have written things and have taught things and have gathered followers around them. They've formed whole cults, in fact, and they've gathered these people around them. But these things are not really from the Scriptures. They only give nominal attention to the Scriptures themselves, picking out this little verse and that little verse to try and prove their blasphemous and Christ-denying teachings. We don't listen to the teachings of men. We listen to the Word of God itself. And I would like to urge you, if you have a copy of God's Word, begin to read it, begin to study it. Read through some of the important books of the New Testament, for instance, the Gospel of John, the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, the book of Ephesians, the book of the Philippians, the book of Colossians, the book of 1 John. You can go through the New Testament. Almost any one of the books of the New Testament will tell you the truth about salvation and the Christian life, everything you need to know. And so I would like to urge you to get back to the Word of God. Now the same is true when you consider the matter of the home and the family. We base all of our teaching upon the Word of God itself. We base, of course, our salvation, the Christian life, upon the Word of God, but also everything we do in life, we base upon the Word of God. And so we've tried to discuss from the Word of God a number of different subjects concerning home and family. And we've tried to base these again upon the Word of God itself, not upon simply the ideas of man or even my own ideas, but upon the Word of God itself. Now I want to continue today the subject that we've been discussing concerning the disciplining of children. We talked about a number of things about children, but then we came to this subject of the discipline of children. The last time we talked about God's discipline of us as His children, and how this is an example for us in the discipline of our own children. The fact that God tenderly and wonderfully loves us. He cares for us very deeply as His children. Everything God does in our lives is for our good. It's not something we resent, something we rebel against because it doesn't seem favorable to us, but everything in our lives we accept is for our good. Even when difficult things come in our lives, sometimes we may lose something in life in the way of financial assistance or something like this, and then we may tend to blame God for what God has done. No, God may be trying to teach us something through the circumstances of life. It may be more complete dependence upon God or some such thing. Now, let's think today again about this subject of discipline. First of all, I want to discuss some of the scriptural purposes for discipline in the life of a child. Why is it that we discipline a child? A child is naturally wayward, and I want to say this very, very carefully. In other words, we're all born with a sinful nature. You watch a very young child. A child begins to test his parents. And I know we love our children very dearly. We may not admit that this is true in them, but they begin to test us. They begin to see where they can disobey, where they can fail to carry out our instructions exactly as we have given them, where they fail to heed our warnings that we give to them in life. And a child begins to test a parent in his life. And so what we're trying to do is to correct these wrong attitudes in a child, wrong ways of speaking, wrong behavior in a child. Even a very small child begins to do this. And so at a very young age, we begin to have to discipline the child. We begin to have to bring this child into conformity with what this child should be and what this child should do. So first of all, one of the purposes for discipline is to correct wrong attitudes, wrong ways of speaking, wrong ways of acting, and you can add many things to this, but to correct these things that have gone wrong in the life of a child. and to set this child on the right path. And I want to emphasize to you parents again and again that it's very important at the earliest stages of a child's life that this child is not permitted to willfully follow his own way. In other words, this child does not know the right way. With a sinful nature, this child is going to follow his own way. And this way is going to lead him into destructive patterns later in his life if he's not corrected from the very beginning. And I'll be talking about some of the means by which we teach a child and we train a child. It's not just a matter of spanking the child or something like this. There are ways that we train and we teach a child and we discipline a child. And I'll be speaking about these later. And then the second way and the second purpose for discipline is to bring the child into conformity with biblical teaching in their lives. Now remember, in the very beginning of this message, and almost every message in fact, I've tried to emphasize that the scriptures are the foundations for our lives, and this includes the lives of our children. We're trying to bring this child into conformity with biblical teaching in every area of a child's life. Whether it's a wrong attitude the child has, wrong speaking, wrong behavior, whatever the problem might be in the child's life, we try to bring that child into conformity with scriptural teaching. And again, we're not trying to lay down 1,000 rules for the child. It is not simply Phariseeism we're practicing with this child, where we act like the Pharisees, following these hundreds of little regulations. But we are trying to bring this child in conformity with God's teaching, God's will, and God's desires for the child. So this child will not grow up rebellious against God, but will grow up knowing the Lord Jesus is his Savior, her Savior, and then following the Lord Jesus with all the heart of that child. And then the third thing, and that is to bring the child into right relationship with both God and man. Now I want to repeat this, relationship both with God and with man. This child someday is going to grow and is going to have to live in society. When the child, for instance, is old enough, the child will first of all go to school. We have pre-kindergarten here in our Harvest Academy. And we have this training at a very early age in the life of a child. The child is small when it comes to our pre-kindergarten training. And this child is beginning to learn how to respond to the needs and desires and the rights of other people. And so, first of all, we bring him into conformity with God himself, into right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And even before he is old enough to receive the Lord Jesus as his Savior, we bring this child into the knowledge of God's love, God's care for him, the fact that there is a God, and this God wants a relationship with him. He comes to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior from sin. And then, in this relationship, he begins to learn how this relationship with God relates to his relationship with other people, with his own brothers and sisters, with his mother and father, with children in school that he'll be dealing with someday. And so this child begins to learn from the earliest ages of relationship with God and man as well. And then, fourth, we also bring the child to a clear understanding that while you love him, there are clear penalties for breaking biblical standards which are being followed, and that the parents are obligated by God to apply these penalties for the good of the child. In other words, just as God loves us, so we also love our children. And the child learns from a very early age that a parent is obligated to stop that child from destructive patterns. The parent is obligated to stop that child from going down the wrong path in the child's life. And if the child does not heed, that child is going to fail in his life and is going to suffer destruction later in life. He's going to get into destructive patterns, into worldly patterns, into things which will take him clear away from every knowledge of God, so that he would even turn his back on God. And many children have done this. And so the parent is bringing the child to a clear understanding that it's in love the parent is going to discipline, but the parent is obligated to do this disciplining. The child may feel at the time, oh, this is cruel, this is mean of you. How could you love me if you would do this to me? No, the child needs to understand that it's in love the child is being disciplined, and that the parent is obeying God in the way he disciplines the child. Now, I want to say a few more things, because there may be some children listening to this broadcast. But I want to say that a child has an obligation to submit to discipline, provided, of course, that that discipline is discipline which is right before God. But a child has an obligation to submit to the authority of his parents. Now, let me say this again. I may not have said it well the first time, but let me say it again. The child has an obligation to submit to discipline and to instruction and to authority. And the child herself or himself does not make the decision whether or not to submit. The child is obligated to submit. When a child has learned to submit to the authority and to the discipline of his parents, he will someday have learned how to submit to a teacher in school. Someday to submit to the authority of society itself and the rules and the laws of society. When a child has grown up without submitting first of all to the discipline of parents, this child is going to be rebellious in every other area of life as well, in school relationships, in society relationships. This child will be rebellious. And this is the reason why so many children become children who are wild, who are incorrigible, and who occupy today our prisons and training camps, because they never learned it as children. Now, there are a number of passages of Scripture, and let me talk about these just in a very general way in these closing few minutes. If you study the first seven chapters of the book of Proverbs, there are many references in these first seven chapters to the instruction and to the need of a child to submit to the instruction of the parent. I'm looking now at chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. It's just beginning this passage of Scripture now. But if you begin clear back in chapter 1 and you go clear through chapter 7, you're going to see again and again a father is wisely instructing the child. And sometimes that father has to bring that child under discipline in order for the child to understand he must receive the instruction. But the father is kindly and tenderly, but forcefully, firmly in other words, instructing this child. So again and again, you find this father insisting the child must listen. He's not being unkind to the child. He's not simply trying to be overbearing with the child or dictatorial to the child. But firmly and lovingly, he is insisting to the child must submit. He must submit himself, submit his mind, and submit his heart to the instruction from the Word of God. And if the child will not submit, then sometimes there are gentle but loving reminders, firm but loving, let me put it this way, firm but loving reminders. They may be gentle as far as the parent is concerned, but as far as the child is concerned, they may seem very firm. But they need to be reminders the child must listen, and that failure to listen will bring consequences. And so a child is taught in many, many passages the obligation of accepting the forms of discipline which the parent will give. Let me just leave with you a few of these passages of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8, 9. And then verses 9 to 18 in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Proverbs 4, verses 10 to 13. These are just a few of these passages of Scripture I'm referring to. Some of them include discipline itself. Some of them include strong instruction. We'll be talking about these in the next message. But I want to say to you parents, be loving and tender and kind to your children. Let the children know that they have that kind of a parent. But at the same time, be firm with your children. Don't let your children go their own way. Whether it's through instruction or through its discipline itself that you apply, let your children know you will not permit them to go their own way. And that lovingly and tenderly, you love them so much that you're going to stop them from doing this. May the Lord help you to be the right kind of parents, even in applying this discipline.